the FCC rolls up its sleeves.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction is still going to cost CBS. The word is the Federal Communications Commission will stand by its $500,000 fine for the 2004 Super Bowl halftime show. And reports this morning say the FCC will slap more sanctions on about a dozen other violations of television decency standards. Fox, NBC, and again CBS should be looking out. Meanwhile, some major broadcast markets across the country will be getting a new TV network. Fox parent company News Corp is launching My Network TV in 10 cities. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
When the WB and UPN networks merged earlier this year to form the CW network, the deal left excess broadcasting capacity in markets like Los Angeles, where both the WB and UPN had stations. Fox's My Network TV will pick up those leftover stations, and it will likely compete with CW for 18 to 49-year-old viewers and ad dollars. Fox's new network will offer about 12 hours of original primetime shows aired back-to-back throughout the week. Paul Goff, with The Hollywood Reporter, says the roster includes programs patterned after Spanish-language telenovelas.
Sort of like Desperate Housewives, except that they begin and end in 13 weeks. The Fox executives were kind of likening it to picking up a new novel.
Make that a romance novel. The programs are called Desire and Secrets. The network will initially cover 24% of the U.S. market. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve Board is losing another banker. Roger Ferguson served as a vice chairman of the U.S. Central Bank for 8 years, but yesterday he issued his surprise resignation. He's the last board member appointed by President Clinton, so when he's replaced in April, President Bush will have named every single member of the board. The number of people seeking emergency food assistance in this country has increased by 8% since 2001. From Marketplace's Work and Family Desk, Hillary Wickay reports.
The gist of today's report can be summed by the story of one man approached to take the survey while standing in line at a Chicago soup kitchen. Lisa Koch with the Greater Chicago Food Depository remembers the day.
He asked me how long would it take because he was here on his lunch break, and if it was going to take longer than about 20 minutes, he wouldn't be able to participate and still get back to work in time.
The study, conducted for America's Second Harvest, says 36% of households needing food help include at least one employed adult. Doug O'Brien is with America's Second Harvest. He says even though the economy is doing better than it was 4 years ago, more people are asking for help.
It strongly suggests that there's something structurally wrong with the economy. When people work and they can't provide adequately for their children.
25 million Americans seek food assistance each year. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
The Dow climbed 68 points yesterday to finish at 11,137. The Nasdaq was up 20 points, that's 0.8%, finishing at 2283. The S&P ended up 9 points, or 0.2%. And the folks who are really in the money are the ones who won that Powerball lottery. They all worked the overnight, so it couldn't have happened to a better bunch. This is Marketplace. Pre-washed lettuce, pre-cut broccoli. Can produce get any more convenient? Apparently it can. Lisa Napoli tells us to get ready for the pre-peeled oranges.
Sunkist Growers wants to make eating fruit as easy as eating potato chips, and that means doing the hard work of taking that rind off. It's launching a line of what it calls Fun Fruit. The company aims to go beyond the grocery aisle by offering the new line to convenience stores and schools. Scott Raminger of the American Wholesale Marketing Association says this is the latest effort to cash in on our quest for healthier snacks and more convenient products.
One thing is for sure, everybody has less time.
Sunkist says in this age of dashboard cuisine, we eat more than half our meals away from home. Consider that easy veggies like ready-to-eat lettuce have blossomed into a $10 billion a year business. I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Thrivin Financial for Lutherans, helping nearly 3 million members achieve financial security and give back to their communities and congregations. Thrivin.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Brian Watt. Now that we've had a chance to see new Fed Chief Ben Bernanke in action, we know one thing. Compared to his predecessor, Alan Greenspan, there will be a lot less head-scratching trying to figure out what the new guy is saying. Our personal finance expert Chris Farrell says it's not just about sounding more straightforward.
There's a big difference between Greenspan and Ben Bernanke when it comes to the bond market conundrum. What this was is that the Fed has been hiking its benchmark interest rate. And while the Fed has been doing that, long-term bond yields have been stable to slightly down. If you look back at the past 50 years, you would expect as the Fed was raising that short-term interest rate, that long-term interest rates would also go up. But they didn't. Greenspan called this the conundrum. He wondered aloud about it. Bernanke, hey, did you ever read Mad Magazine?
I used to read Mad Magazine when I was a kid,
right.
Yes.
I used to love it. I loved it. Alfred E. Newman. What? Me worry. Well, Ben Bernanke essentially was saying, what? What conundrum? He just doesn't see it.
I see. So what does this mean for monetary policy going forward?
Well, I think a couple of things. The reason why Bernanke doesn't see a conundrum is that he has an explanation, and it's a very persuasive explanation why long-term bond yields have been stable. The first, there is a global savings glut. If you look at the balance sheet of U.S. companies, I mean, there's just so much money on that balance sheet. Same thing in Japan, in Europe. And so there's all this money around the world that is seeking a place to earn a return. And U.S. government bonds are the safest securities in the world. So a lot of this global glut of savings is coming here to the U.S. And the final reason, sad to say, I don't know about you, Brian, but we're all aging. And with an aging population, we want some secure income. And so we're turning to fixed income securities to generate that income in retirement. There's a greater demand for fixed income securities with the aging of the population.
I'm not hearing a lot of worry here about inflation. We hear that oil prices, gas prices, energy prices are driving up other costs. But I'm not hearing you as worried about this. And I'm not hearing the market being quite as worried about it.
I don't think so. And I don't think Ben Bernanke is all that worried about it. I really like this idea. It comes from Bill Gross. He's the head of PIMCO. He's the bond market guru. And he makes a coherent argument that the challenge facing Bernanke is a fundamental shift in the Fed's job. If you look at Paul Volcker and Alan Greenspan, his predecessors, what their job was to bring down the inflation rate. The challenge for the Bernanke-dominated Fed is going to be maintaining price stability. And the challenge for the Fed is going to be to maintain price stability, not to fight inflation.
Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. In Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt, subbing in for Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
In Chapter 11, everybody's...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.